Sometimes she would employ me as a bait to draw her prey, and, hating my errand, I would be sent across the lounge with a verbal message, the loan of a book or paper, the address of some shop or other, the sudden discovery of a mutual friend. She sat at her favourite sofa in the lounge, debating her method of attack. Suddenly she turned to me, her small eyes alight. "Go upstairs quickly and find that letter from my nephew. You remember the one written on his honeymoon with a snapshot? Bring it down to me right away." Not for the first time, I resented the part that I must play in her schemes. Like a juggler's assistant, I produced the props. Then, silent and attentive, I waited on my cue. This newcomer would not welcome intrusion. I felt certain of that. In the little I had learnt of him at luncheon, a smattering of hearsay garnered by her 10 months ago from the daily papers and stored in her memory for future use, I could imagine, in spite of my youth and inexperience of the world, that he would resent this sudden bursting in upon his solitude. When I returned to the lounge, I saw he had already left the dining room, and she, fearful of losing him, had not waited for the letter, but had risked a barefaced introduction on her own. He was even now sitting beside her on the sofa. He rose to his feet at once, while Mrs. Van Hopper, flushed with her success, waved a vague hand in my direction. "Mr. De Winter is having coffee with us. Go and ask the waiter for another cup," she said, her tone just casual enough to warn him of my footing. It meant I was a youthful thing and unimportant, and that there was no need to include me in the conversation. This abruptness showed that I could safely be ignored. It was a surprise, therefore, to find that this newcomer remained standing on his feet. And it was he who made a signal to the waiter. "I'm afraid I must contradict you," he said to her. "You are both having coffee with me." And before I knew what had happened, he was sitting in my usual hard chair, and I was on the sofa beside Mrs. Van Hopper. For a moment she looked annoyed. This was not what she had intended. But she soon composed her face, and thrusting her large self between me and the table, she leant forward to his chair, talking eagerly and loudly, fluttering the letter in her hand. "You know, I recognised you just as soon as you walked into the restaurant," she said. "And I thought, why, there's Mr. De Winter, Billy's friend. I simply must show him those snaps of Billy and his bride taken on their honeymoon at Palm Beach."
"I don't think I should care for Palm Beach," he said. Mrs. Van Hopper gave her fat, complacent laugh.
"If Billy had a home like Manderley, he would not want to play around in Palm Beach," she said. "I'm told it's like fairyland. There's no other word for it."
She paused, expecting him to smile. But he went on smoking his cigarette, and I noticed, faint as gossamer, the line between his brows.
"I wonder you can ever bear to leave it."
His silence now was painful, and would have been patent to anyone else, but she ran on like a clumsy goat, trampling and trespassing on land that was preserved, and I felt the colour flood my face. Dragged with her, as I was, into humiliation. I think he realised my distress, for he leant forward in his chair and spoke to me, his voice gentle, asking if I would have more coffee. And when I refused and shook my head, I felt his eyes were still on me, puzzled, reflective. He was pondering my exact relationship to her, and wondering whether he must bracket us together in futility. "What do you think of Monte Carlo? Or don't you think of it at all?" he said. This including of me in the conversation found me at my worst. The raw ex-schoolgirl, red-elbowed and lanky-haired. And I said something obvious and idiotic about the place being artificial. But before I could finish my halting sentence, Mrs. Van Hopper interrupted.
"She's spoiled, Mr. De Winter. That's her trouble.
Most girls would give their eyes for a chance of seeing Monty."
"Wouldn't that rather defeat the purpose?" he said, smiling.
She shrugged her shoulders.